John 14 as we sort of move and sort of get to the collective. In John 14, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about this matter of communion, this matter of hearing his word and keeping his sayings. Something else happens. So not only do we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, but we have the privilege of enjoying fellowship with the Father and with the Son. So we cannot overemphasize the necessity of appreciating and spending time in appreciating what God has prepared, what God has done. So the Lord says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. The Father and the Son. So we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, but the realization is that we can enjoy the fullness of this fellowship with divine persons. And this is mind-blowing, to think that God brings us into such a place of favor to share his thoughts, to have communion with him. It's sort of humbling, and yet it's a tremendous privilege, and it would encourage us to do that. The other point is that we talked about the matter of prayer, and individual prayer is someone mentioned it earlier today. In Jude, it tells us that we're praying in the Holy Spirit, is that all of our life extent is a function of how much we're submitted to the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're exhorted to walk by the Spirit, so you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So all of these features that we're talking about, in order for us to really represent and to be the testimony that a temple represents here in this scene for the indwelling, for God's dwelling and presence and presentation, first individually, all of these components come into being. It's an appreciation of what God has done. It's the practical separation and sanctification that we've been talking about. It's the communion in embracing and responding in his word and fellowshipping in prayer. That's how this whole thing works together on an individual basis. Now we can move over, and then you realize that God is not only just working individually, but he's working collectively, that he's knit us together, and he's building a larger edifice that embodies every believer. And maybe this is a good transition point to the idea of the whole assembly being raised, the temple, for the habitation of God by the Spirit. And what happens in that place.
Mark, may I just add to what you're saying? Because I really think, and I want to link that when we come to collectively. It's, if we are not in the good, the verse we have in John 14, verse 23, we are not going to be able to practice 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If the motivation there is not love, it becomes a legal requirement. So I have my list, who am I going to talk to and who I'm not going to talk to, where I'm going to go and where I'm not going to go. And if I get that, then I'm fine. And this is not really the thing at all. If anyone loved me, this is really the motive. Why I'm doing what I'm doing. I am doing that because I love the Lord Jesus. I am not doing that because, well, I have to, my parents told me that it's good to listen to your parents. Or the brethren told me it's good to listen to the brethren, as long as it's with the scripture. It's really because I love the Lord Jesus. And I want to keep his commandment. And if I love him and I keep his commandment, my perspective on things will be totally different. I'll be able, as a result of that, not to be at equal yoke with unbelievers. Not because, well, it's just, again, I don't want to have a legal requirement that doesn't have the motivation which is love. And then is there a reward for that? If I love him and I keep his... That's the strength of Philadelphia. They loved the Lord, did not love his word, and did not deny his name. Is there a reward for that? Now, if the president of the country said, I'm going to come and have dinner with you, I think he will let everybody in the whole world know that you have access to the higher up. Well, he said, the Lord Jesus is going to come. The Father is going to come. Now, could you like say, hey, listen, I'm not going out. I have a dinner. I have a time of fellowship with the Father and the Son. Actually, you are. You do. I mean, that's what the scripture said. And the Lord doesn't lie. He said, I will come and the Father will come. Look at the honor and the privilege. And you don't have to have a black, what is that? The black tie.
Black tie.
Black tie. Just the way you are. You come in and you have the honor and the privilege of fellowshipping and feasting on the Word of God. Because He loves you and because you love Him. That's really the sphere that we enjoy in. And when you are in the good of that, listen, the garbage of this world that we have heard about, those CDs and those music and those pictures, that people think they are celebrity, they're nobody. They are nothing. You have what they don't have.
They're really tools of Satan. I just wanted to read one verse before we transition. That's so fitting with the verses in 2 Corinthians 6. It's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Watch, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And this is really sums up what we've been saying. You know, when you consider the fact that the believer is unique, when I trusted in the Lord Jesus, at that very moment, the Spirit of God indwelt me, and now my body is not my own. You think about that, and what the world tells you, and the way we hold our bodies, the way what we do with our bodies. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that should just to consider that. Should defer us from doing a lot of things we shouldn't be doing, but also doing things that we should be doing to bring glory to God in our bodies. Doing good works, reflecting the Lord Jesus. That is what God calls us to.
So, brethren, you want to bring us into the collective aspect?